Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
In a time of darkness and greed, it is your light that we need. You came to teach us how to live, Muhammad, ya Rasulullah. You were so caring and kind, your soul was full of light. You are the best of mankind, Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to today's episode of Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I did start off with that solemn sound from Maher Zain. It's to basically eulogize Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about his characteristics, his features, the kind of person he was, you know, in the environment. And that's how come I started with that. Anyways, by now, if you haven't felt the fever, it's for real. Ramadan fever is all over. It's blowing over. And that's why we're bringing you this topic today, preparing for Ramadan as a family, the spiritual and practical tips. And to do justice to this, Imam Abu Labiba, Ustaz Taufik Busari, will be done walking us through. He is the Imam, Director, Darus Saada Islamic Center in Otaogun State. He's also the Quran Tutor of the University, Crescent University in Abeokuta, Ogun State. He's right here with us, joining us virtually. See, it's Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. Imam, salamu alaikum, sir. Well, how are you today, sir?
Alhamdulillah, how are you doing too?
Very well, alhamdulillah. How are you prepared? Are you prepared for Ramadan?
Alhamdulillah, it's on top gear.
Alhamdulillah, so much today. I know you feature in a lot of TV, radio programs. Alhamdulillah, I can't imagine how full your plate is. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah ease all of our affairs. Right, let's just dive right into it. Ramadan is more than just a month. It's an invitation to transform our hearts, our minds, our homes, our whole entire being, right? How can families spiritually and mentally prepare to embrace this blessings of this sacred season?
Ma'am, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. All praises be to Allah, the Lord of the Magnificent Throne, the uncreated creator of the entire creation, the one that has given us the opportunity of some seasons that Allah initiate, creates for his servants to make them earn bountiful rewards from him, to be able to be salvaged on the day of judgment and his pleasure be highly blessed with great bounties. We thank Allah for this opportunity that he has given to us as Muslims. And one of such opportunity is the month of Sha'ban and the month of Ramadan. You might be wondering, why did I mention Sha'ban? What is there in Sha'ban?
Mm.
Actually, Sha'ban is the month of the top gear preparation for Ramadan.
No.
You just mentioned now that how would the family, prepare, get themselves prepared for Ramadan and the likes. And the best is for us to exemplify the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would need to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our activities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us a lot, right, about the month of Sha'ban. Sha'ban is a month that a whole lot of people are ignorant of, full of blessings of Allah, full of a lot of reward, highly blessed month. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said to be full of activities in the month of Sha'ban. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not fast any month completely except Ramadan. But you cannot find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so engrossed in fasting so much in a month, more than you find him do in the month of Sha'ban. And that's why our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told us that she used to pay back her fast in the month of Sha'ban, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get busy and doesn't have time, you know, for worldly affairs, so to say. He gets busy with his spirituality, that everyone knows that the Prophet is busy right now. Then everyone focuses on whatever he or she wants to do, which means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sets a tone in his household. He sets a tone, he sets the pace in his household for them to get prepared, because as the head of the family, the man has a whole lot of activity, a whole lot of responsibility to carry out, to ensure that he raises the mood, the consciousness, the awareness of the expected spirituality of his household at every point in time. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us there. He had really put that into practice, and is the best example for us to emulate as a model. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would set the tone, make his household be conscious that Ramadan is coming. When the leader of the house puts this into action, you will see curiosity. Even the wives would be willing to participate in the activities the leader of the house is also doing, because they find it compelling. They find it interesting to join in. And you see kids being curious to know, "Daddy, why are you doing this at this time? You've not been doing this before. Why this month?" Then he explains to them. He carries them along. He sets the mood of Ramadan right in the month of Sha'ban. In fact, Sha'ban is referred to as Shahrul Qurra. Shahrul Qurra meaning that is the month of recitals. Month of recitals. Yes, recitals. We have the past predecessors. Once it is Sha'ban, they lock their shops. They go back home, get busy with recitation of the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the essence of fasting in the month of Ramadan is to attain piety. So, and that piety, it is not in the month of Ramadan you want to get it. Ramadan is to boost it. So once it is not there before Ramadan, then what do you want to boost? You find some people finding it very difficult, you know, the first day of Ramadan, when they fast, it will be as if they want to die. It will be so, you know, so difficult. In fact, some people might have forgotten that they are fasting, you know, might have engaged in eating or the other before it's been...
Before they are reminded that they are fasting, subhanAllah. I don't know if you're
Put into practice.
He had not practiced it before that
the
month.
Onset of Ramadan now.
He didn't prepare grounds for Ramadan before he got
arrived
into the month of Ramadan. Some people wanting to read the Quran completely, but he will say, no, this year I will finish Quran. I will repeat the Quran 5 times.
No.
You see him first day giving it a very good shot. After that first day, second day, third day, he relaxes. Ask him on the 27th, how many have you read? He will tell you, I'm still on number one. Why? Because he had not set a good tone for it right in the month of Shaaban.
No.
And that's one of the essence of Shaaban. Now,
Alhamdulillah. And we have a few days left, subhanAllah, because Shaaban is literally at the tail end. We are looking at less than a week, subhanAllah. But I mean, better late than never. So it's still, you have enough time to pick up that Quran. You've left it on the shelf for a very long time. Dust it and pick it up and start to read. Read a page, start off with a page, start up with a few verses, and that'll make it easy. Just get in the tune. I think that's the core of what Imam is saying to us. Alhamdulillah. Now, fasting is an individual act of devotion, but its impact should extend to the entire family and even beyond, to your neighbors, to your community. How can parents cultivate a household where prayer, Quran recitation, and acts, general acts of worship become shared experiences that actually bind the hearts together? You know, practical steps that parents can take, especially in this age and time that we're living, Imam.
Now, you see, let me start with the practice of Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar, during his time, he used to wake up his family during the night.
No.
No, I'm not referring to Ramadan now, generally.
No.
He would wake up his family during the night for the night prayer, not even the obligatory prayers of the day. The night,
just the tahajjud, maybe.
The tahajjud, exactly. No. He would wake them up and be reciting the verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Taha that says that, wa'mur ahlaka bis-salati wastabid 'alayha, la nas'aluka rizqa. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask your people, ask your family, instructs them to pray, to engage in acts of worship. That is more acts of worship even beyond the obligatory ones. Wastabir alayha, and exercise patience and perseverance as you do this, because a lot of stumbling blocks would come around. As the leader, as the parent, you need to exercise patience and perseverance around this to achieve this, because Allah said, La nas'aluka rizqa. About their provision, actually, you are not in charge. Allah is in charge.
No.
So you are only liable for what you have been provided with. But as far as the spirituality, you will be queried. You will be asked. And that's why, as parents, we need to make our family, we need to make them understand what a level of spirituality is expected of them. And when we make them understand this, we need to set pace. It's not just about saying that, Abdurrahman, go and read your Quran. You as the father, have you read it?
SubhanAllah, you just took that out of my head. No, as we were talking, my head went to all the children we sent to madrasa. SubhanAllah, we pushed them to madrasa. We are still on Alif Batafa. So we're not even working with them on the Muraja. When they get back from madrasa, we're not even on the same page with them. SubhanAllah.
Exactly. If it is important, if that thing you are asking me to do, daddy,
why aren't you doing it?
Why are you not doing it? Mommy, if you ask me to achieve this,
memorize the Quran.
If it's that important, then why are you left out? You know, you want your child to sit down and memorize the Quran. That place, why can't you start by you memorizing it firstly? Then you tell them, I've memorized mine, I present. You now memorize yours, then present. Create healthy competition amongst them. Healthy competition, make it rewarding. A rewarding competition. Whoever that is able to, memorize Suratul Baqarah, for example, in this Ramadan or in this Sha'ban, will go for Umrah with me.
MashaAllah.
Will have so gift attached to that, you know? You see them rush towards it. You see them rush towards doing it. And they want to, they want to
outshine each other because they'll be healthy.
Other ones.
No.
Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So you create the awareness. After creating the awareness, set goals for them. When you set goals for them, plan for them how they will achieve this. Then you lead as the parent.
No.
You lead as the parent, make them see you in the forefront achieving this, and you see them following you right at the back.
No.
Because children, they are very good
copycats, right? They are the best copycats ever. No.
They are copycats, yes.
No.
They don't just, it's not just about what you say, it's about what you do.
No. Alhamdulillah. Now, realistically speaking, for some children, fasting is beyond their reach. Like my madam CEO now, she can't fast. But the spirit of Ramadan is not. How can parents introduce the essence of fasting, patience, and gratitude in ways that inspire children and foster a lifelong love for Ramadan? How do we do this practically?
Alhamdulillah. You see, our fathers used to do something when we were young. I don't know if parents still do it now.
Okay.
But when we were young, our fathers of the then generation used to, they say something in Yoruba, they would say, Abadaila, Abadalasari, that is, a child will be made to fast.
Yes, till, yes. A certain hour. No.
You understand?
Yes.
A child will be made to fast till Zuhr time. A child then later, he graduates, maybe starting with 12 o'clock, you know. From 12 o'clock to Zuhur, from Zuhur, they will tell you, okay, now you can be patient
Asr
enough to take it till Asr period.
No.
Just take it till Asr. Before you know, it will be the child that will tell you,
I can't,
that daddy, I'm not breaking at Asr anymore.
No.
Then if you are breaking at Maghrib, then I will also break at Maghrib with you.
No. I think a number of parents still do this today.
You are training them.
No.
What is it?
I think parents do it today also. I'm aware. I mean, people do that. Those that go to school, they will, you know, tell their children, you can break when your classmates are breaking at lunchtime as well, you know. And those that are stronger go all through. Yes. So we still practice it.
Do you know that this practice we have is being exemplified there by our past predecessors, even during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is not a bid'ah. It's not a bid'atic practice. During when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to Medina, the first fast, because Ramadan became wajib, became obligatory in the second year of the Hijrah.
Now, that's when they moved to Medina.
Movement to the second year after moving to Medina.
No.
That was when Ramadan became compulsory. And that's the 15th year of the messengership of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, but before then, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made Muharram, fasting in Muharram, most especially the Yawm Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram, he had made that wajib, compulsory.
No.
Before the coming of Ramadan. So Muharram 10 was compulsory. What they used to do, the companions, what they used to do was that they would ensure that even their kids would not eat. Even on Muharram, they would not eat. They would encourage them to fast. When they are getting tired, they are out of, you know, their patience is being tested, you know, crying, and they will now distract them with toys, things of play, things of amusement that will engage them till the time they are to break their fast. This is an example for us. If they can do this for Muharram, that later became voluntary and no more obligatory, how about doing this for Ramadan? Because, yes, it is not wajib upon them, obligatory upon them, when they are still not mature, they have not gotten to puberty.
No.
But how do you say that a child that has never tried fasting in life till he got to the age of 14 or got to the age of 13 or 15, and you now tell him that now you
it's
have to start fasting
to fast
from the beginning till Maghrib? He will find it strange in his life. How do you expect me to do this? He needs to start it from somewhere with encouragement.
No.
The moment he's used to it, when it becomes obligatory, you see him
Indeed. So this is a tough one, because this is reality that most of us find ourselves in this fast-paced world, balancing professional responsibilities, academic demands, and spiritual commitments during Ramadan can honestly be overwhelming. Subhanallah. What practical strategies can families adopt to harmonize daily life with the pursuit of spiritual excellence? And I want you to bear in mind, a typical 9-to-5 guy, we know 9-to-5 is not really 9-to-5, but actually out of the house by 6 a.m. So this is the person's case that I'm bringing forth for you to help us balance. How does this human being realistically?
It's a very good one. Actually, parents, in this Shaban, is not still late. Let's sit with our kids and plan for Ramadan.
Okay.
Let us be intentional about our activities in Ramadan. Let's sit down, set goals. When we set goals, then we plan on how each of these goals will be achieved. Because it's not just a matter of, I want to achieve this, you know. It's easy to drive the car with the mouth.
Indeed. So,
but when you get to the steering and you understand what it means to drive. So it's not just about setting goals, but, you know, setting plans on how to achieve this.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to ensure that every salah of ours is established in congregation. How do we achieve it? We want to ensure that we finish so number of Quran. How do we achieve it? We want to, for example, you want to finish a Quran now. For example, a Quran. Then you can do this. It means you need to finish one juzu in a day for you to complete a Quran in the month. Then what it means is that if you divide it into salat time, then you can have it as 2 pages before salah, 2 pages after salah.
Okay.
2 pages before fajr, 2 pages after fajr. I'm being practical now.
No.
2 pages before Fajr, 2 pages after Fajr. 2 pages before Zuhur, 2 pages after Zuhur. That makes 8 pages.
No.
2 pages before Asr, 2 pages after Asr. That makes 12 pages. Then the same thing in Maghrib, 16 pages. The same thing in Isha, that's 20 pages.
And just to cut in, Imam, you know, for those that work, they can start to ask, how can I do the 2 pages? Think about all your lunch break and the tea breaks and all those breaks that
coming.
You don't...
I'm coming there. Another thing, after now setting those goals and the likes, you now look at it. What is the major hindrance? The major hindrance for me, preventing me from achieving this, then probably my work.
Yes, work.
Why can't I plan my leave in Ramadan? Okay, I'm entitled to a 6 weeks leave, for example.
No.
30 working days. Then your 30 working days, Ramadan cannot even exhaust your 30 working days.
No.
Right? You still have it left. Because right in there, you still have public holidays, you have weekends, you have and the like. So you still have more to yourself that you can actually use probably during Dhul-Hijjah, where you are expected to also be full of a lot of devotion and a high level of spirituality.
No.
So having your leave, you have worked tirelessly before now, you ignored your leave, deliberately being intentional about the fact that I want to achieve the best in Ramadan. And you'll be highly rewarded by Allah. You know? So having the leave, if you can make it cut across the entire month, beautiful. If you are occupying a position that, you know, it's almost practically impossible for the company or for your workplace
to leave you for an entire 1 month.
For an entire 1 month, okay, why not slash it? 20 days, is it possible? Half of the month, is it possible? If the entire month, the half of the month is not possible, then how about the last 10 days? Where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam triples his activities in Ramadan. Whatever he's coming with, you will see him doing it in triple form in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So why can't you? These are practical ways that we can go about it. You know, you are the type that even if you you plan it that way and you are still at home, distractions will be there for you. Then why not plan a travel, if possible?
So if you'll be distracted at home,
I'll be focused.
Right.
Let me go to a location where I'll be focused. Umrah is an example.
No.
In fact, performing Umrah in Ramadan is like performing Hajj with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In terms of reward.
No.
You know? So you can plan the Umrah if you feel you need more. A location is a serene location.
Imam, it's not only feeling no. It's not only feeling no pocket. It's not only feeling. I feel like wanting to go for Umrah. The pocket must support it. Alhamdulillah, may Allah ease our affairs.
If the support pocket is not supporting, then plan your itikaf in various masajid.
No. Alhamdulillah.
Go to a masjid. You know, a masjid where you are not really known, and you'll be so free to, you know, carry out activities, then go there, plan it, and the like. So we have different ways at which we can actually engage ourselves. But the first thing is that we need to know that our usual routine, we need to cut them down in Ramadan.
So I think the key word for me when you started off is being intentional. You have to be conscious effort. So Ramadan calls for more than just abstaining from food and drink. It calls for an environment that nurtures reflection, remembrance, and restraint. How can families reduce digital distractions? I'm reading this and I'm holding my chest because I'm so guilty. How can families reduce digital distractions, increase meaningful conversations, and make their home places of barakah?
Alhamdulillah. They need to plan for activities that are highly rewarding. Fasting, like you said, is not just about not eating, not drinking. You know, we have some people that in the month of Ramadan, what they engage in is sleeping galore.
That's the only way to manage the energy now, Imam. That's how we can manage this energy.
He will sleep from morning like that. It's till iftar before you rise from that bed. You know? you are not engaging yourself well in Ramadan. Some people, by now, what you'll be planning now is getting movies, you know? Season themes. What series are the latest ones on so and so?
No.
You will be getting tirelessly lists of various movies that he needs to engage himself with. You know, all these are efforts in futility. May Allah not make us engage in such. What you need to do is, as you are fasting, you need to engage in things that will be so pleasing to your Lord. Not just whiling away time. You don't while away time. You make good use of time. These are two different things. Whiling away time, making good, productive use of time during that. Because each of the minutes, the seconds, the hours in Ramadan are unique and special.
No.
You need to go for organized, nowhere lectures and tafsir will be done around you. Your location, get details, schedules of lectures, tafsir, daily, weekends, and the likes. Know them. Engage your family with them. Go together as a family. It's highly rewarding. You wouldn't know the one your wife will hear that will transform her life positively. You wouldn't know the one your children will hear that would impact them positively for life.
No.
Don't look at them as, you know, they are too young, what will they? They can't understand what they're saying. No. They will. They will pick something.
Indeed.
They will pick something. I was somewhere last week at a school event. The school had the Ramadan bazaar thereabout, you know, right, just shopping this thing. I was asked to engage engage the kids on what's it called, on fiqh of Islamic jurisprudence, on is the transaction.
Okay.
Transaction.
No.
And you know, as that seemed to be, it's like, you know, a cumbersome aspect of Islam, right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
I discussed this with those kids and I got feedback. I was marveled. Mm. I was surprised at what those kids were telling me back regarding what I've said. Now imagining, we thinking that those kids would not understand what would be said. Would they be able to pick anything? No. That's just the way it is. Kids are good learners. Mm. They are good learners. And the basic, the major thing they need to learn, the best is to be done at that younger stage, at their prime. That's when they can achieve best. So engage them, go for activities with them, go as a family. You know, it increases the bond, it increases the love, It increases the affection. Then you will achieve spirituality. Mm. When you get home, create feedback time. What did we gain from the lectures we have attended?
Well, then lessons. Let them feed you back. No.
So when they feed you back, then reward them. Even if it's sweet, even if it's chocolate, reward them. They will be more attentive in the next one.
True.
You understand? Yeah. So all these things will help to keep the bond, keep the affection of the home, keep spirituality intact. And also, at home, when you are at home, engage them. Okay, now let's come together. Let's read the Quran. Let's come together. Let's understand the stories of the Sahaba. Let's read through this book. So this, for the month of Ramadan, we'll be reviewing this book at home. Mm. It is the story of so-so-so-so-and-so. Review a book.
Mm.
Rather than making them sit down in their different corners, you know, busy with their gadgets and thereabout, make it a season of togetherness. Review books together with them. Now,
yes.
Let everyone reflect on whatever that has been read. Let everyone tell you what they have understood from what you have read.
Yeah.
And you will really thank Allah that you did this. Then at iftar time, let everyone break fast together.
Mm.
Don't let your kids, mommy, I will break in my room. No. Nobody's breaking in the room. We sit down as a family. That's barakah.
Mm. Mm.
Barakah will descend upon our food when we eat together instead of eating individually. Right. It is not haram to eat individually, but it is more beneficial to eat together as a family.
No. In fact, you mentioned iftar, and I was going to actually ask you, you know, how you did say we should maximize, make the most of the time. We're not just wiring away time. So how do we, you know, make our meal time? Because sahur is a blessing. Iftar is a blessing. It's part of the blessings of Ramadan. How do we make this moment? How do we transform them to spiritual moments that nourish both body and soul? So that we're not just eating for eating's sake.
Alhamdulillah. When we want to break our fast, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us understand something. And that's what he said. When a fasting Muslim has two moments of happiness.
No.
That's when he wants to break his fast in each day. And when he meets his Lord to be rewarded for his fasting.
No.
Those are two happy moments for a fasting Muslim.
No.
And that happy moment is your iftar time, close to your iftar time. The Prophet made us understand that it is the time of acceptance of dua. Mm. Dua is being accepted by Allah at that time. Because Allah is happy that you are happy.
Mm.
Allah is happy that you are happy.
No.
If you request Allah something at that time, Allah would willingly grant you. Then why not do this as a family?
No.
Sit down together. It's almost time for iftar, or it's time for iftar. Let's say our dua for breaking the fast. ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. The fast, the quest, the test has been quenched. our veins have been
moist, rejuvenated. Now,
then our reward has been established by Allah.
No.
This is what we need to teach our children. Then we make them ask Allah something for us, seek Allah's barakah for us. So we make dua together. Then when we break, we make we observe the etiquette of eating. You know, Islamically, Bismillah, we say Bismillah, we eat, and we make our children understand that actually, iftar time is not eating competition time. We have to break our fast in a way, in a way that will keep us upright to be able to carry on with activities.
No.
Not the one that would eat that will end up sleeping off at that eating point.
Indeed. Imam, you need to loud the mic, because at this point in time, you know, this is germane, because after the iftar comes tarawih. In fact, your meal should be portioned such that you just have a snack to keep your back up, to be able to withstand tarawih, then come back to eat the rest. Abi, more or less.
Exactly.
Now,
and we need to make us understand that our tarawih is part of activities of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban." Fasting is during the day. So he said, "Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with full faith, open reward from Allah, Allah will forgive all his sins." Then he said, "Man qama Ramadan." That is the night activity now. Whoever stands in the month of Ramadan with full faith, open reward from Allah, Allah will forgive all his sins. And he also told us that whoever that prays with the imam in the night prayer, the tarawih, he prays with the imam, and is patient with the imam till the imam finishes, he will be rewarded as though he used the entire night to pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To stand for Allah. Naam.
Imam, so even if I, these imams are praying long bakara, if I stand the bakara and sit down.
Let me iterate that point.
Okay. Because he says he's completing it with patience with him. I'll patient and do salama at the end of the 11th.
You know where I'm going, so let me iterate it. So we should now ensure that we are patient with our imams. And secondly, don't go for tarawih where you, if your care is not taken, you would even vomit because of the fast pace of the fast pace of
recitation.
And the speed, you know, the speed of, that is not what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. He never showed us this. He never brought us this. That is not Islam. If the Quran has to be read, then it has to be read properly. And it is called tarawih because of the nature of that salah. What it means is that the salah whereby you pray and you break for rest in between. You rest in between. It means that it is engaging.
No.
For you to rest in between, it is engaging.
No.
If it is not engaging, there will be no issue of rest in between.
No.
Go to where you will be engaged and you will enjoy the sonorous, serene recitation of the imam.
Yeah.
Encourage your children. Whoever that might not be able to stand completely, you have the opportunity to sit down.
No.
You know, you can carry the Quran behind the imam to follow, if that will assist you to
focus,
you know,
and attain more khushu.
More khushu, you carry the Quran. So you follow and you have bountiful reward.
No.
The more you stand, the more your reward before Allah.
No.
Huh?
No pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. Thank you very much.
Indeed.
No pain, no gain. On our sujood, we should now ensure that those dua lists we have prepared, those things you've been trying to achieve all the year long that you've not achieved, you know, you now bring them
to,
in.
Them to Allah.
I've been standing. I've been standing for you, not for any other person except you. Oh Allah, accept my dua. Do not return me disappointed. And Allah will not return you disappointed.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Imam, I need to give opportunity to those listening from home to join us. Let's open the phone lines. To be part of today's show, you can call number 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can call us on 091-55-917-917. Once your call comes through to the studio, please mute your radio set and speak directly from the phone so we can have a smooth and clean conversation. You can also send us WhatsApp messages or text messages to our number 081-55-917-917. I'll take that again, 081-55-917-917. We have a call. Hello, assalamu alaikum, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, I'm Mr. Yusuf Olamileko Adedeyin. I'm calling from Alakoko, Lagos.
Right. Your contribution.
May Allah continue to increase our imam.
Amen, Ya Rab.
In knowledge.
Amen.
So, and I feel for all Muslims as well. So, my question is this. Is there a difference between Tarawih and Tahajjud in Ramadan? Is there any need for somebody who has performed Tarawih to still wake up for Tahajjud, like around that 3-4 that we normally do?
Okay. Your question is noted, sir. Jazakallah khairan. Now, listen through your radio. Miss Imam, you did get the question, right?
I got it.
Alhamdulillah.
It's a very good question.
No.
Tahajjud and Tarawih is just nomenclature differences based on time. Tahajjud is Tarawih. Tarawih is Tahajjud.
Mm.
We call Tahajjud Tarawih in Ramadan.
Mm.
It is the same 11 raka'at that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to pray every night that he brought into Ramadan and brought it earlier than he used to do. So it's still the normal tahajjud, which we call tarawih, now more intentional about it in Ramadan.
Right.
So that time, that noble time which sahur falls, Allah wants you to actually wake up.
Mm.
Why? Because that time is full of barakah. Even though you have prayed tahajjud, you prayed tarawih with the imam, you've been rewarded that you prayed the entire night for Allah, that time is still full of barakah. Don't forget, the last one third of the night, the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the heaven of this earth, of this world of ours, and Allah will be asking, who is he that needs my help, I should help him? Who is he that needs my forgiveness, I should forgive him? Who is he that needs my assistance, I should assist him? How would you miss this noble call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Mm.
Then, if you have prayed with the imam, and you have prayed your witr, then there is no two witr in the night.
Mm.
What you do is that when you wake up at that time, before you take your pre-dawn meal, engage in recitation of the Quran, for example, engage in dua, adhkar, seek forgiveness of Allah. Wabil ashari yastaghfirun. Allah said that those who seek Allah's forgiveness during sahur time. Wabil ashari, sahur time. So during the sahur time, seek Allah's forgiveness. Say what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. When we wake up, we say la ilaha illallah. That is when you wake up during the midnight, before you engage in asking Allah anything. You say la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim. Then you add one thing, that one you are used to read, then add one thing, rabbighfirli. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you say this, you are open to three things. Number one, Allah will forgive your sins. Number two, if you ask Allah anything, you request anything from Allah, Allah will grant you. Then number three, if you now stand up, observe raka'at for Allah, Allah will not reject it. So this is an ample opportunity for us. When we wake up at that time, you wake up 3 o'clock, you wake up 4 o'clock, good, based on your location, recite the Quran, do askar. Then ask Allah fervently. Ask him what you want, because Allah is right there
wanting to grant you, wanting to bless you, wanting to show his mercy upon you, seek that blessing, the bounty, and the barakah of Allah. May Allah grant us all.
I mean, Imam, just a quick one. So you did say that once you've prayed the witr with the Imam at the masjid, you can't do that again. So what if I delay my witr, if I intend to still do tahajjud?
Okay. If you intend to still do to observe something in the night, then you delay your witr with the Imam. You don't pray witr behind the Imam. Then when you now wake up, you bring whatever number of raka'at you want to bring, then you add your witr.
No.
But if you do this, don't forget the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever prays completely with the Imam. You've not prayed completely with the Imam, will you now have the complete reward? And that's why some people say that what the Imam has prayed is enough.
No.
But still, some of us are still enthusiastic. We still want more. I'm not, it's not enough for me. I need to still bring something. Then scholars said, what you should do is that pray the 11 rakat with the Imam. When the Imam does his taslim, don't do taslim with the Imam. Stand up and add one more to yours. That is 12.
Okay.
It means you have not prayed with it. And yet you have completed with the Imam.
Allahu Akbar.
We love reward, right?
Allahu Akbar.
You now come back in the night, wake up in the night, then pray the number of rak'ahs you want to pray, then add your, what we call your witr. Wallahu ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. Islam is beautiful, subhanAllah.
Really
grateful.
Really,
I have a few more questions. I pray that time doesn't, you know, run off. In the month, I mean, Ramadan is a month of generosity, mercy, and giving. And we see this. I mean, I think that's even the time we mostly give and give and give, right? Beyond individual acts of sadaqah, how can families come together to support the needy, serve their communities, and instill a lasting spirit of charity in their children?
This is quite very, very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described to be generous than the wind in Ramadan. Can you imagine such quality?
No.
Such description, being generous than the wind. Who is it that the wind does not touch? That's how much the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spreads generosity in the month of Ramadan. So we do this, and it's not limited to the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan is teaching us how to live our lives after Ramadan, how we live our lives in the remaining 11 months.
No.
Teach your children to be generous. No matter how much, if Allah has blessed you abundantly, then be generous abundantly. If Allah has blessed you with a little, be generous within that little. The Prophet Allah, the Prophet Allah said, safeguard yourself from hell, even if it is with half of a date. Half of a date, giving half of a date in charity. If that is what you have that you can use to salvage yourself from hell, please do that. If you cannot, then Fabi Kalimat al-Tayyiba, have good speech. God keeps telling people good things. Imagine a lady that went to meet our mother Aisha with two kids, that she was hungry. Our mother Aisha did not have anything to give her at that moment. She gave her only 3 dates. And she gave each of those kids one of the 3 dates. She was left with only one for her to eat. Immediately the kids got those deers, they threw it in their mouth, you know, kids. And immediately they longed
for
and
more.
Yearned for the one with their mother, that she could bring the remaining one. The mother was also hungry and was left with no other one. Then she shared that single one into two and gave each of those kids. Our mother Aisha was marveled at what she did. And told the Prophet when the Prophet came back. You know what the Prophet said?
No.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because of that singular act of that woman, Allah has made her a dweller of Jannah.
Allahu Akbar.
Imagine you now spending, that's half dates.
No.
Imagine somebody now spending generously. Give your kids, teach them how to be generous. One thing we need to know about generosity and spending is that it is not a state, but it's a habit. It's a habit, not about your status. It's a habit that you need to inculcate. You need to be used to. If you are used to it, even when you don't have, that's when you'll be able to do it when you have.
No.
If you are not used to it when you don't have, you will not be able to do it when you have.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Word.
So it's a habit. It's not how much you have. Mm. It's not a status.
Mm.
Generosity is a habit that you need to imbibe. So teach the children. Okay, if third time you have cooked, you are seven in your household, you cook the food of 8 people or 9 people, tell your children, now take this food to so-so-so person.
Mm.
You are teaching the child generosity.
No, indeed.
You are giving the child, okay, you take pure water, you are buying a bag of pure water, this is a bag of pure water, have this, go and share to people. We are teaching the child generosity.
Indeed.
When the child asks, the child will also think of doing the same thing.
No. Imam, you know, the first time I heard the hadith about that date you just quoted, I didn't know dates. I hadn't met dates. And so when I heard a number of people sharing dates, in my head, I thought something like watermelon, right? So the first time I then came across a date and went back to that hadith, I was in utter shock. Because all along, for people to share, 3 people are sharing, 4 people are sharing, and dates, I just thought it had to be a watermelon-sized fruit for them to share. SubhanAllah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
So impact positively, impact life positively.
Mm.
That is when you are in existence.
Mm.
That is when you are living. You are not in existence, you are living. If you are not impacting life positively, you are only existing, you are not living.
Mm.
You try to live beyond your time. And how do you live beyond your time? Is by impacting, making your generosity outlive you.
True.
Making your impact on people outlive you. That even when you are no more, the reward is also getting back to you. This is the life of Islam.
SubhanAllah. I have more questions, but we're out of time. I do wish we could take one more question. But your parting words, basically, if you can do it in 60 seconds, how can we carry on with the spirit of Ramadan beyond the month of Ramadan?
Let's increase our level of piety. When we increase our level of piety by engaging in righteous deeds, sustain the piety by engaging in righteous deeds, do all this by seeking no other thing except the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be highly blessed. You will be highly raised. Your status will be highly raised before Allah. And out of your generosity, make feeding people the highest of it, because it salvages you from hell, raises your status. In fact, angels compete about taking it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. May Allah make us witness the month. May Allah count us among those that will reap the full benefits of the month and spare our lives to witness many, many, many months on earth. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Imam, it's always a pleasure to have you. We pray for many, many more of this. And like my brother prayed for you, may Allah increase your wisdom. May Allah accept this from you as ibadah, make you weigh heavy on your scale of good deeds. Jazakumullah khairan to all of you that tried to reach out to us. I'm so sorry we're out of time. I can't take any more calls or messages. Join us same time next week when we bring you another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. It will be in Ramadan then. So Ramadan Kareem to every single one of you. I leave you with Maher Zain, The Power. And of course, a big thank you to the entire team making this awesome for us here in the studio. See you then, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Masi sondele pila no kolo yelele. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Times or more, you feel at peace inside and it'll open every door. That's the power of remembering Allah. It's the best way to purify your heart. You know you will be loved by the mercy.
سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر So much you can gain just by saying those few words You can renew your faith and be showered in
back to your teachings and all your words from your life I have learned to be patient and caring at every turn the reason I'm strong you're where I belong in a world spinning out of control the reason for my pride you are my guide and I will always follow your way Sallallahu O Muhammad Peace and blessings on you every day Alayka Sallallahu O Muhammad You inspire me in every way I promise that wherever I go Whenever I pray I'll be sending you praise With the words that I say Rasulallah O Muhammad Peace and blessings on you every day There's light in my heart Helps me find my way back when I've gone too far When all my anger makes me blind I remember your mercy for all mankind The reason I forgive as long as I live In a world spinning out of control The reason I love, I'll never give up And I will always follow your way Oh, alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad Peace and blessings on you every day Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad Inspire me in every way I promise that wherever I go Whenever I pray I'll be sending you praise With the words that I say Rasulallah O Muhammad Peace and blessings on you every day